Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to each and everyone. Good morning, good afternoon. I am so sorry. I trust that each and everyone had a glorious day. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. This is Apostle Willie Ann Miller. And I am so glad that you tuned into the broadcast today. I had a glorious weekend and a victorious weekend. And I just thank and praise the Lord for what the Lord is doing in this earth, or on the earth in this hour and this time. In spite of what we experience, especially from what we see, the negative that we hearing and what we seeing, we need to look up. The Bible says we need to look up because our redemption draws nigh. We need to continue to believe and trust God, trust what God's word say. You know, we don't need to so much to trust what people say about God as much as we need to trust what the word, what is written, said about God. Because I find out sometimes, you know, don't get me wrong, when you read the four gospels, they share with you their experience with Jesus and as the Holy Spirit, as they was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write, you know. And I'm finding out more than ever because of the redemption work of Christ, Jesus made it possible for us to have a relationship with the Creator. God always wanted to have a relationship with humanity. And if you go back in the beginning, when the first family were Adam and Eve, God had a relationship with them. He had a relationship. According to the scriptures, Adam and Eve, where God would come down in the cool of the day, and he would fellowship with Adam. And so there too, again, God always wanted to have a relationship with humanity. And, you know, I don't know about you, when you go in the Old Testament, he was always manifest himself or reveal himself to the people as God. But in this New Testament, in this new covenant, he revealed himself to us as Father. That's why when a disciple asked Jesus, teach him how to pray, the first thing he said was, Our Father, who art in heaven. Remember, if you go back and study it, so God always wanted to have a relationship with humanity. Even when we receive, accept Jesus, our Lord and Savior, guess what? It's an open communication there. You can commune with the Father and the Son. Jesus said, if you've seen me, Philip, you've seen the Father. So there too, again, God always wanted to have a relationship with mankind. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, ever since I came on the broadcast, thank God for Apostle Armstrong and those that support this broadcast. When I first came on, and my message always been pointed towards the already. Well, a lot of people might say, what she mean by the already? I'm talking about what Jesus accomplished, the already. And what we'll do, let's go to Peter, and I want to show you that, but I want to talk about something today. Kind of sense a shifting in the message that God would have me to share. I sense a shifting. I want you to hear me. I sense a shifting, but the shift is still about, we're going to talk about believing. Believing is so important when it comes down to the things of God. I want you to hear me. Believing is so important when it comes down to receiving what Jesus done. Believing is so important. Without believing, we would not be able to experience or receive what he did. Believing is so powerful. Believing. And so we're going to go on and open up with prayer so we can get in this and we're going to see which way the Lord will have us to go. But like I said, all of my message is pointed towards the already. What Jesus accomplish by coming on this earth, our inheritance, the benefits of what he done. That's all we've been talking about. But I kind of sense a shifting, and we're going to talk about believing. You know, the Bible tells us on one occasion that we need to examine ourselves to see whether or not we in faith or not. Well, according to Hebrews 11 chapter, it says, now faith is the substance of things that hope for and the evidence of things not seen. And I don't know about you, but when the Lord gave me this, and when I begin to go back and examine myself, and in some areas I didn't believe. I had cast away my confidence. And a lot of times, you know, I can't minister like Apostle Armstrong and like some of the rest of them that come on the air. God didn't call me to mimic them, and I'm not trying. I can only relate and give to you what God then gave me. But this message is about we need to examine ourselves to see whether we are operating in faith. You know, a lot of times when we experience tragedy in life or sometimes with trouble or affliction and persecution, believe it or not, that right there can cause you affliction and persecution, it can cause you to cast away your confidence in the Lord. If you haven't developed a relationship with him, if you're not a student in the word, that's why it's so important that we need to be continually renewing our mind. We need to continue to renew our mind. But I'm going to go to 2 Peter first. I'm going to 2 Peter because, as I stated, when I go back and look at my notes, when I first started and some of the things that the Lord had me to minister, he was always talking about the already. And I have tried, as the Lord lead me, to make sure all of my message is towards that one thing. Do you believe? And that's what we're going to start talking about, the already. Jesus done did everything. Now, according to 2 Peter, I'm going to be reading this from the Amplified Translation. I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Translation, 2 Peter, the first chapter. I'm going to read the first. I'm going to read the first three verses. I'm going to read the first three verses. I'm going to be reading it from the Amplified, and then I'm going to also just go on and read it from the King James. I don't want to rush through this because everything you and I need, God done already made provision for it, but it's through the redemption work of Christ. I want you to hear me. Like I said, you know, and the thing is, we need to really go back and examine ourselves and ask ourselves, do I truly believe? Now, as I stated, I think I mentioned a little bit about this the other week. The Bible said the devil believed and he trembled. Do you not know the devil believed in the finishing work of Christ? He believed that Jesus, the Son of God. He believed that Jesus paid for our sin. He believed by his word. But the enemy don't want you and I to operate according to the finishing work of Christ. He don't want us to put confidence in there. You know, some people even say, you know, we don't need to talk about the devil. Let me tell you something. You and I need to realize that we have an enemy. And one of the first things God revealed to me when I first got saved was Ephesians, the sixth chapter. And he began, as I read down, he let me know that I don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but I'm wrestling with principality, the ruler, the spirit of weakness in high places. The Lord let me know that this was a spiritual battle. He revealed to me that I was a spirit, I had a soul, and I live in a body. You see, I didn't know none of this. I was just a church goer. You know, my mom made sure I went to church. I was in Sunday school. But when it came that I didn't, you know, I heard about God. I didn't have a relationship with him. The mindset I had about God, when you get in trouble, you call on the Lord. You get sick, you quote Psalms 23. in Psalms 23 and St. John 14. Those were the familiar scriptures that I can recall as a child that my mom and my auntie and my grandmother then would talk about. But the relationship part, I did not have a relationship with it. I didn't even know what that was all about. All I know, you need to get saved so you don't go to hell. And some people, it's like that today. They just get saved so they don't have to, so they can escape hell. But what you going to do, that's for eternity. But what you going to do while you're on this earth? God made provision for us in the spirit realm through Jesus, as well as in the natural, better yet, in the physical world, the visible world. You know, the spiritual world is invisible, but through the scriptures, we can see into the invisible. The invisible come to visible, you know. So, but anyway, I want to start this off with this because, as I stated, Jesus done did everything. That's why a lot of time, if you go in the book of Ephesians, it talks more about in Christ, what we are in Christ. And it tells us all about that. It was written to the church anyway, the church. But it tells you, when you go read all the epistles, they talk about the already, believe it or not, you know. But where I came from and the way I was taught, and I be transparent because, you know, the Lord let me know. People need to know sometimes a little bit about our experience. Now, some people say you talk about yourself too much. When you hear me talk about I or whatever, I'm not magnifying myself. But I just want to let you know I have trouble too. But I thank and praise the Lord the way God done delivered me from trouble. You know, I haven't arrived yet. You know, I'm still growing. We all still growing. But the Bible said we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so there, too, again, we're going to start with 2 Peter, the first chapter. Let me do a word of prayer. Father, I thank and I praise you right now for this opportunity. I thank you for those that have tuned in by the way of radio, computer. But, Father, I give you praise. I give you honor for it. I just decree and declare that you will bring clarity, that you will bring understanding to the ones that will hear your word today. I thank you that this broadcast is covered with the blood of Jesus. It is covered with the blood of Jesus. I thank you that their ears are covered, their spirit, man, is covered, that they may be able to hear and they may be able to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, like I stated, I'm reading from the Amplified Translation. And anybody know Apostle Miller, she's going to take you into what? I'm going to take you to that Living Translation as well. But I want to take my time because a lot of time, I don't know about you, but reading the Bible, you need to ask when you read it, you need to embrace it and put yourself in there and say, you know, do I believe this? And see, believing is not just only believing something exists, but putting confidence in it. Jesus made this statement. It's what he said, if you love me, you will do what I say do. He said, if you love me. I remember one day I told the Lord that. I said, Lord, I love you. He said, well, do what I say. On one occasion, I think it's Matthew 7 chapter, Jesus made this statement. He said, many going to say in that day, Lord, then I prophesy. Lord, then I do great works in your name. And he said, I'm going to say, depart from me because you work in iniquity. In other words, he's saying that because you never developed a relationship. You didn't know me. And because I'm telling you, to know the Lord is to serve him. I used to hear the old saints say that. Okay, I'm in 2 Peter, I'm going to read the first three verses. And as I stated, Jesus, Apostle Peter is talking about the already. But there too, again, out of all he did, listen at me good. Out of all Jesus came to do, if you don't believe it, if you don't put trust in it. Now, it's a difference between believing and trust. A lot of people believe that God exists, but they don't trust God when it comes down to their situation or when it comes down to their problems. They'll start mumbling and grumbling. Remember we talked about Hebrews, the 4th chapter, how it said they hear the same word, but it didn't profit them nothing because they didn't mix it with faith. Faith is an action word. Come on, somebody. Faith is an action word. Believing is an action word, really. It's an adjective. If I believe, say, for example, if someone wanted to borrow one of my automobiles, okay, if I gave them the key and they leave home with my automobile, I believe that they, for I entrusted to them, I'm going to believe they're going to take care of it. So if somebody was to come and say, I want to borrow a car, I said, well, so-and-so would have it. I entrusted to them. But I ain't going to just trust my automobile to anyone. And whoever I trusted to, it's going to be somebody that I have the kind of relationship with that they would, I can trust them and they would do it. Well, how did I come about with the trust? That had to be developed. And there too, again, somebody I don't communicate with, somebody that I don't got an understanding about, and I found they worthy of my trust. Well, when it come down to God, you know, it's normal for everybody to say, I believe God. But when as the old folks used to say, the proof is in the pudding. You know, when the opportunities show up, do you put trust in him? See, the children of Israel, they believed that God could, but they did not trust God to bring them into the promised land. They walked around with unbelief. Now, some people don't realize, but mama in complaining is unbelief, his unbelief and doubt. Well, wherever you find unbelief, doubt came first. You doubt. Doubt come up. And I'm telling you, you can go through so much in life that you can cast away all your confidence. That's why the writer said in Hebrew, cast not away your confidence because it holds a great reward of recompense. And you can cast away your confidence. You can turn your heart against God. You know, things can happen in life that you don't understand. And because you don't understand and know the sovereign of God, you will blame God for it. Okay? In 2 Peter, the first chapter, I'm reading from the Amplified Translation, the first three verses. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle, special messenger of Jesus Christ, to those who have received, obtained an equal privilege of like precious faith with ourselves in and through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. May grace, God, favor, and peace, which is the perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fear and agitation, passion, and moral conflict be multiplied to you in the full personal and correct knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Look at the third verse. For his divine power have bestowed upon us all things that are good and suitable to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by into his own glory and excellence. By means of these, he have bestowed on us, has, it's saying has, and there too again, has is past tense. By means of the deeds, he have bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promise, so that through them you may escape by flight from the moral decay, rottenness and corruption that is in the world because of the covenant, lust and greed, and become share partakers of his divine nature. Now he's gone with that, but I'm going to stop right there. Then we're going to go to, like I said, we're going to read it from the Living Translation, the same first three verses. And he said, this letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to you, all of you who share the same precious faith we have. Listen, we share the same precious faith given to us by Jesus Christ, our God and our Savior, who make us right with God. May God bless you with his favor and wonderful peace as you come to know Jesus, our God and Lord, better and better. As we know Jesus better, his divine power, listen, as we know Jesus better, his divine power gives us everything we need for living a godly life. Listen, as we know Jesus Christ, his divine power gives is plural, us everything we need for living a godly life. He have called us to receive his own glory in goodness. And by that same mighty power, he has, there too again, he has given us all his riches and wonderful promise. And in the book of Corinthians, Paul said, all of God promised in Christ is yes and amen. Remember, Jesus said in the gospel, he said, I came not to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill it. And see, you got some people still don't believe that we're supposed to keep God's commandment. We're supposed to, what God did, he took the 10 commandments and he summed them up into two. The first is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is to love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, if you loving God with all your heart, all your soul, mind, and strength, guess what? You're going to do whatever he tell you to do. Love motivates. If you love somebody, it motivates you. It calls you to do those things that please into that individual. You don't want to do nothing to displease them. And so that's what believing does. If you truly love God, and that's why when you hear people say, I love God, and you live in a lifestyle that's contradicted, not in agreement with what God's word says, there's something wrong with that picture. Because to love God, loving God motivates you. You want to do what he say. You will to please him. You'll get in the word. You'll seek this word out. Okay? But there too again, he said he have given us, I'm in the fourth verse, he said he have given us all his rich and wonderful promise. He have, there too again, he have promised that you will escape the craziness of all around you caused by evil desires and that you will share this divine nature. So there too again, now the King James will read just a little different. Yeah, I'm taking my time. I'm laying my foundation. How about that? I'm laying my foundation because we gonna wind up, and my thought is really, do you really believe? Are you believing like that? You know, the scripture we're going to go to in Mark, if I get there today, when the man brought his son to Jesus, I'm going to go read it for you. I'm kind of paraphrasing. But that man, and Jesus asked him, and he said, I believe, but help my unbelief. You know, and I believe a lot of his unbelief come from seeing his son had spent, half his life in that predicament. And like I say, a lot of time, if you've been dealing with a situation and it seemed like for days or weeks and maybe months and maybe years, you ain't seen no changes, it can cause you to catch away your confidence. And I hear a lot of people say, I believe, yeah, I believe, but. I believe God can, but. Well, if you believe that God can do it, you got the next thing, you got to trust him to do it. Trust him. The scripture tell us, commit thy ways unto the Lord. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all your ways is to commit thy ways unto the Lord. Also trust in him, lean not to thy own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. The Bible. Okay? Okay, in the King James Version. We're in the King James now. We're in 2 Peter. I'm going to read the first three verses as I did in the other one. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith, with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power have given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Now you see what he said, according as his divine power have given, past tense, unto us all things, plural, that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him. That's why it's so important to get knowledge. That's why it's so important. You might need to cut the TV off and get in your Bible and read. Find out what he said. God said this. Find out. I'm telling you, this is so important. Please hear me. This is so important. You need to read your word. You need to read your Bible. You need to find out. Hosea 6, that God people describe for lack of knowledge. And as the time draw nigh for Jesus to come, I mean, we're going to see more things, tragedy. We're going to see more trouble. But guess what? We got to stay focused. And I tell you, you know, that's why so many times, like I said, you got to learn how to get in this word and find out what he's saying, okay? He said he done give it. Now let's go to my scripture. That was my, I'm finna give you my foundation. Let's go to St. Mark, the 9th chapter and the 24th verse. And like I said, we talking about examine your beliefs. Examine. Yeah. Do you really believe? Do you believe and trust the Lord? Because I'm telling you, believe it or not, that's where it's at. You hear me good? That's where it's at. Because as I stated, the enemy going to always try to get you and I to doubt what he said. In Mark, the 9th chapter, God, we love you and we bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you, I pray, and I pray and trust that you love the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That 20 verse, I'm going to start at Mark 9 and 20. It's the end. They brought him unto him. Well, let's start. We're going to start at the 15 verse. It says, great way all the people, when they beheld him, was greatly amazed. I'm reading from the King James. Were greatly amazed and running to him, salute him. And he asked the scribe, what question ye with them? And one of the mother to answer said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he tears him and form and snag it with his teeth and pinning him away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered them, now look what Jesus is rebuking them for their unbelief. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Now, those disciples, he had gave those disciples authority and power over sickness and disease. He told them to heal. He told them to cast out devils. But somewhere, they begin to doubt. Come on, somebody. And I believe, according to the scripture, all of us, when we start out with the Lord, we start out, God give us faith. And the faith we have residing on the inside of us is the God kind of faith. And Jesus said, if you got faith the size of a mustard seed, you can speak to a tree and command the tree to be uprooted. You know, I went through a season in my life, I used to think that I had to have a lot of faith. But then I read, you mean that I can have faith the size of a mustard seed? And speak to one of which says symbol called tree, that tree have strong roots in it. And you mean that I could do that? You know. Yes, we can do what the Bible say, but there too again, you can't just only say you believe it, but you have to act on it. A lot of time people get faith mixed up with feeling. My feeling don't have nothing to do with my faith. The way I feel don't dictate to me whether I believe or not. But he said, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit teared him. He fell on the ground and wallowed in torment. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since to him? He said, of a child. And oft time he have cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if thou can do anything, have compassion on him and help him. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Keep on believing. Keep on trusting. In straightways the father of the child cried out, listen, and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help by my unbelief. So many things today, and I know some people there say, I believe. But their action speaks of that. Now, some say, now you're judging. Do you not know the Bible talk about a thing is rightly judgment? A saint can, you can, we can judge ourselves by the word. Now, what he mean when he said, I don't judge nobody? You can't, I don't know what all going in your heart, but your actions speak where your heart is. If I tell you, for example, if you seen a snake, and if it call itself a snake, and it's not crawling on the ground, you gonna wonder about it because you believe a snake. One of the attributes of a snake, they crawl, right? If an animal showed up and you believe it's a dog and he starts saying, man, man, you're going to be confused. So whenever we say believe something, our action will respond to what we believe, what we trust, okay? But anyway, he says, great way the father, the child cried out. Now, one translation say in tears and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thy my unbelief. It's nothing wrong with going to the Father. You know, I was talking to this, my son, Pastor Ray, we were having a conversation this morning, and I was telling him, I said, you know, sir, the Lord began to show me a while back, a lot of people know him as God. They don't know him as a Father. When you study the Old Covenant, he revealed himself to the peoples as God. But in this new covenant, this new testament, remember Jesus was saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. When they asked him to teach them how to pray, he said, our Father, our Father. When Paul was dealing with the Galatians, the Jews, he was telling them that we all are one in Christ Jesus. And at that time, when they was inspired to share with the, don't you know the Jews and the Gentile had hostile against one another? They didn't care for one another. The Jews was always belittling the Gentiles because the Jews wanted, if you were gonna be a Christian, they said you had to go really just back become a Jew. You had to circumcise yourself, the foreskin, certain parts of your. But then Paul was saying, no, we are all one in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But the man, he did. I love how he said in that one, he says, great way the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thy my unbelief. Now, here's somebody might be even listening at this broadcast now, and you've been dealing with a situation for maybe weeks, maybe days and months, maybe years. You might need to cry to Father somewhere down the road, I cast away my confidence. Somewhere down the road, Father, I got lost. And I began to find myself mumbling, complaining. I stopped believing in you. I stopped trusting you, Lord. Yeah, he talking to you. Because I'm telling you, a lot of times when you're in a situation, it prolongs itself for a long time. If you're not a student of this word, if you're not a person that meditates on this word, you will find yourself casting away your confidence. You will stop believing God. You will stop trusting you. And most like some people say, I believe God can, but it ain't God will. You know, wrestle with that for a long time. For a long time, I was confused about what was the will of God till I got in the full gospel. Some people wrestling with the will of God when it come down to provision, when it come down to sickness and disease, they wrestling with whether it's God will or not. The Bible declared clearly, he hear all of them. I haven't seen not one person Jesus rejected that was sick and came to him that he didn't heal. Now, the Bible said he would limit that he couldn't do many works in his own time because of unbelief. But whatever believing, well, people had strong faith in, he did. And Jesus was, it ain't this strange for this man to tell Jesus, I believe, but help my unbelief. Now, and y'all, one time I used to say, well, you can't believe and have unbelief at the same time. Yes, you can, but the thing about it, you acknowledge it. Now, Lord, I know I believe, but help my unbelief. And there, too, again, work on. The only reason why it's unbelief there because you allow it to come in. And like I said, if you've been dealing with something for a long time, if you ain't careful, you can cast away your confidence in God. And you do that, you'll start, remember Hebrews the 4th chapter, you'll start mumbling, grumbling. Why, God, why? That's the worst thing you can do. But that's the worst thing we can do when we don't understand. So we want to say, well, why this didn't happen? Why God healed Joe and then healed Jim? I don't know. I don't know what either one of them faith was. But it don't change who God is, y'all. We got so many people, Paul, say they would depart from the faith. They would depart from the faith and they get heaped in doctrine to teaching of the devil. And y'all follow me, he said that. But the man said, I believe, help thy my unbelief. And guess what Jesus did? Jesus healed the man's son. Make a long story short. But like I said, I want you to see this because if we want God to do anything, y'all, we got to believe. We got to trust him. And in this hour, I don't know, I don't understand everything that happened on this earth. I don't have all the answers, but I have the most answer you need. Don't only believe God, but trust God. All through the four gospels, it talked about how Jesus healed them all. Regardless of what kind of sickness they had, they was healed when they came to Jesus. That let me know right there, is God will for you to be here, man or woman, somebody you listen at this broadcast right now. And the enemy been tormenting you in your mind and in your body with pain, tormenting you in your mind that you're going to forever be sick. You don't have to forever let the devil torment you. It is God will for you to be here. Well, Prophet Miller, while I haven't received my healing, or why I ain't seen the manifestation, have you thought about it? Is doubt there? When we start saying, question God, why does that happen? Why does that happen? Why does that happen? Don't you know you operate in doubt? Now this young man said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And I'm telling you, that is so important. A lot of the saints living beneath their privilege. They living from paycheck to paycheck. Come on, somebody. A lot of them desire to have better jobs and better homes, and they still haven't received that. But faith is an action word. But like I said, and I'm going back to that 24 verse. In great ways, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thy my unbelief. If you need to tell Father, now, Lord, I know I believe, help my unbelief. Now, he going to need you to get back in the word. If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, then you can pray in your prayer line. Now, he was telling them that the cure of this unbelief, and then, well, let me read the phrase. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the defiled spirit, stand unto thy dumb and deep. I charge thee to come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent his soul and came out of the man, and he was one as one dead, and so much that many children, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciple asked him, why could not we cast him out? Look. And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by fasting and praying. Now they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. Now, there too again, I want you to see where unbelief, you see, I want you to see where unbelief and doubt is. That's why I said, go back and read it. Examine yourself. Don't let nobody make you feel bad, you know. Talk to him. The Bible said we can come boldly to him. So tell him, now, Father, I know I used to believe, but God, I let myself down in doubt and unbelief. And come on, I need you to forgive me, Lord, and get back in your word and get your faith dear back up in the Lord. Because I'm telling you, as the time draw not, you go need it. The Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. Come on, without not only just believing, but you got to trust him. You got to take him at his word. And when them disciples asked him why they couldn't do it, he told y'all faithfully. Somewhere they let doubt come in. Come on, somebody. Somewhere they allowed doubt to come in because they were believing. When he sent the two out by two, what they were doing, they were believing. They were casting out devil. They were doing all of that. But it's the old folks that the enemy put a love rank in the wheel. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. But we said examine yourself because this is so important. You know, so I don't get people. I know I believe. Listen, as I stated, your action supposed to follow it. If you believe God, your action follow. I believe that I forget, supposed to forgive. Father, I'm going to forgive them by faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We love the Lord. I'm trying to, I'm going to this and hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We just adore you. We love you. We adore you, Lord. Hallelujah. Mark the 9th chapter. We love you. Hallelujah. Let's go to Mark the 9th chapter. Mark the 9th chapter. And like I said, I love it. I love the way this man just humbled himself before the Lord. He did. He humbled himself. That's what I love about it. He humbled himself before the Lord. And he told the Lord, he said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. He told him, he said, I believe, but help my unbelief. Okay, we're going to start. We're going to start again. We're going to start at that same verse. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to start at that 17th verse. Let's look at the 17th verse. Hallelujah. The 17th verse. Upon this return, Jesus' disciples, three disciples, found the other disciples in Guffin, conversed with the scribe when he inquired what it was all about. A father said that he had brought his demon-possessed son to the disciple, but they couldn't heal him. The evil spirit often brought great physical and emotional turmoil on the boy. The inability of the disciples to cast out the demon apparently led to a dispute with the scribe who questioned their legitimacy. Jesus called them as unbelieving generation. He said faithless. That word faithless, unbelieving. And y'all, we in that hour. The Bible said when Jesus come back, when he find people believing and trusting him, that's something to think about. Because as I stated, you can't cash away your confidence. Go back and examine yourself. Don't let pride stand in your way and say, well, Lord, I know I would believe it. But, Lord, I went through this experience of my life and through my ignorance, my lack of knowledge about who you are, God, and what you do. I cast away my confidence. I got impatient. And, you know, that's one of the things. God, we can be so impatient when it comes down to the word of God. The Bible says that through faith and patience, they received the promise. God gave Abraham a promise, and it was 24 and some years before Isaac came on the scene. But Abraham kept believing. And that's something God told me. He said, you got to keep believing and keep trusting me, Anne. And y'all, I'm telling you, if you just believe God exists, that's not enough to see the manifestation. And like I said, that's what happened to the children of Israel. They saw. Can you imagine you seeing this invisible God through a man part the Red Sea, and the people was able to walk through on dry ground? Come on, somebody. The woman with the issue of blood, Jesus walked up to the woman and said, since she a daughter of Abraham, she ought to be, this one ought not, this woman be loose, who Satan done bind up, and he loosed the woman right there. That's why when I read the four gospels, you can't make me doubt that it's not God's will for you to be well. Well, so-and-so that, listen, never let your faith be put in other people's experience. My faith is not based upon nobody's experience but Jesus Christ. If I'm going to put my faith on somebody's experience, it's going to be on Jesus. When I read the four gospels, I see what he did when he walked this earth. And the Bible tell me I'm joined arrows with him. I'm one. He in me and I'm in him. Well, guess what? I have to take that to faith. God, you said it. I believe it. I'm going to trust what you said. Come on, somebody. Are you still with me? Are you still with me? He said, when we inquired what it was all about, a father said that he had brought his demon-possessed son to the disciple, but they couldn't hear him. The evil spirit often brought great physical and emotional turmoil on the boy. The inability of the disciple to cast the demon apparently led to a dispute with the scribes who questioned their legitimacy. Jesus called them an unbelieving generation, no doubt including the disciple lack of spiritual receptors in light of the sign Jesus had already demonstrated. They wanted the results of the faith without exercising faith. Listen, you and I ain't going to see the glory of God manifest itself if we don't exercise it with faith. You know, the Bible tells us that everything we get from God is based upon faith. And sometimes, y'all, we can be double-minded. We have to train ourselves to only say about us what God says. Father, by your stripes, I'm here. And you can't let your feeling tell you, well, if you hear, why you heard. That was one the enemy tormented me for a season about that. If they hear, if people hear, he said, why when you hear no people, they get worse or some of them die. Well, devil, you were trying to get me to stop praying. I found that out later. But I had to keep on believing. I had to keep on praying. I had to keep on trusting. And we all have to do that when it comes down to God. Amen. But he said, Jesus called them unbelieving generation, no doubt include the disciple lack of spiritual receptors in light of the sign Jesus had already demonstrated. They wanted the result of faith without exercising faith. When these evil spirits inside the boy saw Jesus, he caused the boy to fall in convulsion. It's not clear how all the boys were, but apparently this had happened to him from childhood. The father was in such despair that he wondered if even Jesus could do anything after all the disciples failed. And see, there too again, we as even that born-again believer, we need to be very cautious in this hour because somebody is watching you. You say you're a born-again believer, and if anybody have any idea of what a born-again believer can do, if not that, they throw St. Mark, the 16th chapter on you. And these signs will follow them that believe. They will speak in new tongues. They will cast out devils. They will lay hand on the sick and the sick shall recover. It don't take a lot of faith. Father, I believe this is what you got me. So therefore, I trust you with it. Amen. Hallelujah. We're dealing with unbelief. Because y'all, a lot of time we want to always blame the devil and blame God. Y'all, it's on us. He done did everything. Jesus did everything that needed to be done that you and I can believe and trust God with all our heart. Come on, somebody. We can believe. Amen. But he was saying the disciples couldn't do it. Okay, and like I said, Jesus got offended with them disciples. He called them unbelievers, unbelieving generation, no doubt including the disciple lack of spiritual. And like I said, they would walk around, and then even when they pulled Jesus to the side, they questioned him about it. And said, Jesus often encouraged everything is possible for the one who believes. The problem was that the man's faith was weak and mixed with doubt. He said, I do believe, help my unbelief. Now listen, his faith was right there with unbelief. You have to get rid of doubt. I remember the late Charles Capp used to say, George Meyer used to say, doubt your doubts. And that's where you and I come in. See, the things of God, even all of God promised, yes and amen. But God ain't going to override your will or my will. I think we ministered on this last month in depth. God is not going to override your will. That's why sometimes when you praying for other people, it look like it takes so long, because guess what? God got to work on their heart. Because we by nature, we can't change nobody. But we can pray to the one that can do in and everything. And nothing is impossible to him, and that's God. Amen. But there too, again, we're talking about unbelief. Examine yourself to see whether unbelief is in there. The Bible talks a lot about unbelief. You might not realize it, but the Bible talks a lot about unbelief. It do. It said that's why the children of Israel, some of them, they weren't in the wilderness. They didn't believe. And as I said, when you stop mommy complaining, you're dealing with unbelief. When you start mommy complaining, you are yielding yourself to unbelief. Do you hear me? Come on, somebody. Do you hear what I'm saying? And like I said, you and I is responsible for go in the eye gate, in the ear gate. And like I said, it was Jesus' will to heal. Like I said, I don't see nowhere in the full gospel where Jesus turned anybody down when it come down to healing. Now, the Bible said he couldn't do but a few works in his own town because they doubted. They doubted what they were hearing about Jesus. Just think if they would have went in there, just think if all them disciples would have just got with him and believed and really trust him. And I'm saying to you, wherever you at right now, whatever you're going through, if need be, you can say, Lord, I believe, but I got some unbelief in me, God. I mean, that's a father. God is your father who are in heaven. If you're a born-again believer, even if you don't backslid, Father, forgive me. I got impatient, and I just stopped believing. I stopped trusting. I stopped everything. I stopped reading my word. I cast away my confidence. Oh, yeah, you can tell him that. Come on, somebody. That's why I tell people a lot of times, whenever you read the Bible, put your name in it. When I go read Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, Matthew 8 and 16, 2 Peter 2, 24, when I go back and read those scriptures, I put my name in them. Father, I thank you by your Christ and his heal. Father, I thank you because great is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Father, I thank you so much. I thank you for the finishing work of Christ. I thank you that the Holy Spirit abides on the inside of me. Amen. You can do this here. Whatever you're experiencing right now in life, if you put your faith on the shelf, pull it back off that shelf and say, Lord, forgive me. I was believing, I was trusting you, I was doing all I could. But Father, I allowed doubt and unbelief to get in there. So you got to doubt before you get in unbelief. And some, I hear Jesse the Planner say a lot of times, doubt your doubts. But I'm telling you, it's God's will for you and I. Whatever situation you're dealing with now, wherever you may be on this earth, if you addicted, if you have any habits you're addicted to, don't you know in the name of Jesus today you can be set free? If you have a need, don't you know in the name of Jesus he can prepare for you? Whatever you need, you can receive it today. But you got to get rid of unbelief. And Jesus told me the way to get rid of it through fasting and praying. That's what he told them. Hallelujah, Lord, I thank you. Let me go on to read some more. God, I thank you and I bless you. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That 27th verse said, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind come forth by nothing but by prayer and supplication. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God, I want to help you today. If you did, and we're going, like I said, I'm going to continue. We're going to go through the scriptures as we always do. But examine yourself to see whether or not you walk in doubt and unbelief. If you don't got offended with God, and like I said, I know this from just talking to certain people. When you done had to tolerate an illness for over a year, or sometime a year to seem like the end of the world. But if you've been fighting and struggling with certain addictions, certain habits, you can be set free today. If you've been struggling with a peace of mind, you can have a peace of mind today. Repeat after me. If you've been dealing with any kind of addiction or whatever, and say, Father, I know I believe, but Lord, help my unbelief. Father, forgive me for allowing myself to yield to doubt and unbelief. Now, Father, I'm going to take your word. I'm going to trust your word. If you need a Savior, Father, I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, save me. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you're the Son of God. And guess what? God will come to your aid. He waiting to hear from you. If you're dealing with doubt and unbelief, just acknowledge it and confess it before God. Ask him to forgive you and get in your word and begin to read the word of God and put your trust and confidence in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to continue with this because, like I said, we're dealing with, do I really believe the already? Do I trust the already? Because as we read in 2 Peter, first three verses, he said he have given you and I all things pertaining to life and godliness. But see, that's what we have to take faith. It takes faith to put God in remembrance of his word. I'm going to stop right there. But I want you, after we go off the air, won't you sit down and meditate on some of the situation, even what you're dealing with now. God, do I really trust you with it? When you trust God with some, you put that thing in God's hand, and you can walk away from it. Hallelujah. Father, again, we want to say thank you for your word. We give you praise. We give you honor and glory. And Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I lift up each and every one before you. And Father, I pray as they examine themselves, whether they've been allowed unbelief and doubt to get in. I ask, Father, that you will bring enlightenment and understanding to them. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, this was Apostolic Willie Ann Miller. And we thank and praise you for tuning in. We're going to continue with this. We're going to be talking about, do you really believe? That's what we're going to be talking about. You enjoy the rest of your day.